This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I just heard Jeff Thomas in the update, Brown saying bye-bye to Juan Thornhill.
Least surprising news ever.
Daryl, you literally mentioned Juan Thornhill, I think the segment before, about his future in Cleveland. So I'm guessing you are not surprised.
No, not at all. Disappointing results from that signing. I loved it when it happened, so I'm not going to sit here and say that I saw that coming, but really, I mean, I needed Owen to refresh my memory because I was like, the next play Juan Thornhill makes for the Browns would have been the first, and then he reminded me he did have pick six against the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think that was in a preseason game now that I'm thinking about it. Because I'm looking at the box score from last year. He didn't do anything in that.
So, yeah, I mean, he never made any plays here. And the whole point of bringing him in and pairing him with Grant Delpit was to create two big playmakers in that secondary. And one of the most aggravating things for me, besides quarterback play, is when I watch other teams, the impact that safeties have in this league. And I'm waiting for the Browns to, I don't know, get their safeties to make plays and have impacts in games. And that's why they gave Thornhill the contract they did and brought him over from Kansas City, won a couple Super Bowls with them. And you know, I think everyone, myself included, was excited at the time about the signing. He was going to come in, teach these guys how to win, yada, yada, yada. And he just really did nothing in his 2 years here. Just massive, massive disappointment.
No, it didn't work out. And, I mean, even before him, it was John Johnson III. Who was the other player from the Rams?
I think the next safety that Andrew Berry signs as a free agent that turns out to be worth it.
Who was the corner?
Nickel corner.
That they also brought over from the Rams that year with John Johnson
III. Was it Troy Hill?
Troy Hill,
yeah,
that's it.
Troy Hill, yeah.
And he went back to the Rams. I think that was a one and done.
Yeah. You've at least got to get some credit here because you had no clue who Juan Thornhill was the day after they signed him.
He
showed up for you by not showing up at all.
Remember, that was the first name, and I laughed. I'm like, is this the big free agency splash? Because remember, we thought the Browns were just going to go on a tear that year in free agency. Now, we ended up getting Za'Darius Smith and Tomlinson that same offseason, right? Owen, so it wasn't the splash. Yeah. Thornhill was not the headliner.
He wasn't the splash, but
when they did it, it's just we were so desperate for anybody, and people were like, what a savvy move. And on paper, it did make sense.
It was a role player that was projected to be an everyday player, you know, every down player. And Juan Thornhill showed us that he's probably a role player.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what he is.
Mary Kay adds that says it's a post June 1st designation will happen at the start of the league year, March 12th, obviously for salary cap purposes. So it's just another hole that the Browns need to fill.
Which means now this is important that it's them doing post June 1. That means they only got one more slot because you can do two. So you got who's going to be the second post June 1 designation. Is that Myles Garrett? If they trade him, is so keep that in mind now. That's actually a pretty important piece that Mary Kay just reported there. The post June 1.
Get to him. Does 2026 still count as post June 1st, technically? I'm just holding out hope. I'm holding out hope for one more year, Miles. Okay.
They're basically splitting, looking at right now. I think his dead cap for this year is 12.4. So you're splitting that over 2 years. So it's, you know, instead of 12.4 hit this year, it's a 6.2 hit.
Yeah.
Man, but again, that just emphasizes, though, keep that in mind now going forward in this offseason, who that second post June 1, who they're going to use for that.
You know, watching the Browns and watching under Jim Schwartz, such an aggressive defense, obviously, where they either just completely dominated, you know, at the line of scrimmage. They'd have these games where Miles would just be so, so dominant that these other teams wouldn't have a chance. Or there'd be games where our secondary would just have these mix-ups where everybody would be staring at each other and we'd be sitting here on Monday trying to figure out whose mistake was it. And oftentimes, Daryl, we couldn't figure it out,
right,
and the players were not on the same page on whose mistake it was.
Yeah.
And I do wonder about that. You know, was that a Thornhill thing? Was he just always in the wrong place, taking bad angles?
It was such a bad look when it happened, right? And then I will give him credit. He stood up. He said, hey, that was on me. The lack of effort was on me. That should never happen. It's never going to happen again. But it was a shocking admission. The fact that he admitted that, yeah, he bailed on the play,
yeah,
so to speak, right? You never hear. So on one hand, I can't rip him for it because he manned up. He admitted to his mistake. The problem is the mistake happened, right? That he did it to begin with. And that is, I think that is pretty much the 2024 season in microcosm. Yeah. Not that guys gave up. Don't misunderstand me there. But just that, I don't know, I don't want to say, I don't even know how to say it. Like, I don't, attitude or just, it just kind of encapsulated that season, right? That just one little choice that was made ended up being a massive problem and a massive mistake that, you know, burned him bad.
And also, if the one thing you can give Barry some credit for when it comes to picking up receivers the way he has with Amari Cooper and Jerry Jeudy, who had really great moments last year, also ended with a dud the last few games, but kind of foot out the door situation there.
Well, or also understand who the quarterback was.
Oh, absolutely. I would also add definite blind spot in the secondary. He has not been able to really help the team. And that, unless Martin Emerson, but, you know, that was in the draft, and Martin Emerson was one of the worst-rated corners in the league last year after having a great rookie campaign.
I'm starting to get concerned about Andrew Berry's blind spots. He seems to have a lot of them when it comes to, not spreadsheets and numbers, but when it comes to just, I don't know, picking football players who can play.
Yeah. All right, before the break, and now it's an official poll question. Mitch put it up on the show page. I retweeted it. Would a Cavs finals victory over the Lakers be bigger than 2016? And I'm curious here because I have said time and time again, and in fact, Ken got into it with me late last week, that I'm miffed anytime anybody just comes on here and slams LeBron. Like, the guy delivered something that no other athlete delivered. And without him, they would not have done. There's no other combination of players. There's no way that you're winning a championship with anybody outside of LeBron. First of all, you couldn't get that player. But LeBron, because he was born here, because we were lucky enough to have that, he comes here, he wins the title. And I said the second time he left, I'm like, he could leave five more times. He won the championship. I'm not going to talk badly about him after that.
Doesn't mean
I'm rooting for him. I did not root for him to win the championship in the bubble. I wanted his Cavs title to be.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
His last title.
Well, just like I want Kyrie Irving's Cavs title to be his only title.
Yeah.
Like,
the way
I view LeBron is I do view him amongst the all-time greats. He's right up there. At least in my lifetime, players that I've watched. I mean, I grew up in the Jordan era. I hated Michael Jordan, but I respected and was in awe of those Chicago Bulls teams. I was glued to my TV for The Last Dance. I mean, I binged that. I couldn't separate myself from the TV because I was so captivated by reliving that era. Even though growing up watching the Cavaliers, watching Jordan be the roadblock, he was the John Elway to the Cavs, right, at that time. But I view LeBron right there, Jordan, LeBron, and Kobe. I am blessed to have lived to watch those three players and their greatness. For me, they're 1A, 1B, 1C. I can't, I'm torn between, you know, who's 1, 2, and 3 there. But the way I look at LeBron is, you know, the way he left Cleveland, we all know, was just absolutely horrible. And he deserved every ounce of criticism he got, right? He became the villain in the NBA, right? Well, then he comes back to Cleveland, he makes good. Say, he comes back, says, I'm going to make sure we win a championship. And he delivered. And once that happened, Anthony, that for me, okay, you made good. You atoned for your sin. You've got a clean slate. What you do with the rest of your life is all up to you. Wish you well. Doesn't mean I'm going to root for you, but thank you very much. Like, I don't understand, to your point, I don't understand the animosity folks still have towards him. Like, I just don't. He forced Kevin, like, he forced Golden State to go get Kevin Durant. Like, I have more animosity toward Kevin Durant because Durant's a bandwagon jumper.
And we would have won more titles. In 2017, they would have beaten anybody.
I have more animosity to Kyrie Irving because he basically torpedoed that era of Cavs basketball by wanting out, right? Yeah. And this is a player, and I've talked about this. Kyrie is a great, great player. Now, I can't speak now because I haven't been around him, but I remember when he was with the Cavaliers, Kyrie just was unhappy all the time. Like, I think that's something he just didn't like being here or whatever, but like, you have an all-time great that came home to help you win championships, and now you don't want to be a part of it because you think you should be the man, right? There's jealousy that LeBron, you know, because this was, I guess, supposed to be his team, and then LeBron came home and took it over to go get Kevin Love and all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't get that. Having LeBron to help you win championships, why would you want to bail on that? And then everywhere Kyrie has gone, Boston was a disaster. Brooklyn was a disaster.
Until last year.
Until last year with, you know, I will never root for Kyrie Irving to ever win another NBA championship. And, yeah, I would absolutely love if the Cavs beat LeBron in the NBA
Finals. Just think about what kind of couple of weeks that would be, and the fallout afterwards. Like, those finals with LeBron James, can you imagine him coming here, getting booed on every possession again, which is what would happen? It would be so bizarre. What a crazy story. And these players have mentioned LeBron. In fact, you've heard Cavs teams mention LeBron for like 5 years, trying to win without him. Because, you know, anybody that's here knows it's almost impossible to outdo what LeBron did with his career in Cleveland. But one way you could start, like Donovan Mitchell, you don't think a guy like Donovan Mitchell, who knows, you know what a championship would do for Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland? How they talk about his career now, there's so many lists that don't even have him as a top 10 player. And now all of a sudden, if he wins a championship here with this Cavs team, and then, oh, by the way, you're doing it against Luka and LeBron with the Lakers, that'd be like an NBA shattering, you know, all the mythology, all the stuff that's built up about how the NBA and the types of teams that win a championship, and the Cavs have been the team with two small guards and the two bigs. That's not a way to do it. It would shatter so many norms that we have developed about the blueprint of winning a championship.
I am curious, in a moment of true honesty, if I were to walk around that Cavalier locker room and just start polling the players about the whole LeBron shadow thing, and is that something that's driving you guys to pave your own legacy?
Why does it keep coming up?
Yeah.
Well, it just came up last week. We played audio.
Well, it keeps coming up because, LeBron's the only one that's ever done it here, right? 52 years between championships, between the Browns won in 64 and the Cavaliers won in 2016. Well, that's why it keeps coming up.
And you know for a fact, if the Browns ever get to like the AFC championship game, we are going to be doing questions about, is this Browns player bigger than LeBron now?
Because, well, no, it'll be, is now this we're talking about all better the greats. Than Bernie Kosar, right?
But the comparison is going to be LeBron. LeBron's the championship.
Okay.
He's the guy in this town that won championships. He did what the great Indians teams and players were unable to do. He's the guy that delivered it, you know, in our lifetime. And you know for a fact, that's all we're going to do. We were comparing Baker Mayfield to LeBron James.
Well, earlier,
because we were so desperate to find something else that wasn't LeBron.
Well, earlier today we were talking about, is this the best Cavs offensive team in history? And you brought up the 2017 squad and just how great they were. But this particular team scoring at a higher clip, right?
Yeah, all their numbers are better.
I mean, just all the metrics. The fact that they've got, I think it's four times this year, they've scored 140 points, which is a franchise record. They shattered early in the season. There was another, they right out of the gate, they had shattered, like, I think it was maybe the 130 mark, games with 130 points, or whatever. But, I mean, this year's Cavaliers team is just setting all kinds of new benchmarks previously set by LeBron. I admit, I'd like to see them win 67 games. With all due respect to LeBron, that's not me throwing shade at LeBron and what he did for the Cavaliers. I want to make that very clear. But I love greatness. I love history. And watching these guys the way I have the last couple of years and the way they've come up.
Well, you just used the term.
I would love nothing more for them to set new benchmarks that were previously set by the greatest player in franchise history.
Daryl, you said you love greatness. It takes winning championships for most. You know, the rare one-offs are Joe Thomas. You know, those players are few and far between.
Yeah.
Not just in Cleveland, but everywhere where you can truly associate greatness.
I think
greatness.
That's the Miles thing, right? That's why people are so polarized on Miles, because he's a future Hall of Famer.
Yes.
And the Browns have never, and I realize I wasn't around in the 50s and the early 60s to see with my own eyes those teams. But for me, I don't think the Browns have ever had a defensive pass rusher like Myles Garrett in their history, in their storied history. They've never had a player like that, and they may have to trade him. That's devastating.